The text of our message is found in Matthew chapter 8. And I would like to add one more verse, namely 16 to 18. Matthew 8, 16 to 18. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and they cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. This concludes the whole passage from verse 1 up to this point, concerning Jesus' first public ministry of healing. As we know, we've just finished the Sermon on the Mount by the end of chapter 7, and the beginning of chapter 8 is the descent of our Lord Jesus Christ from the mountain, which is identified today as the mountain that overlooks the Sea of Galilee, where the Roman Catholics had built a church of the Sermon on the Mount. And when we visited this time, we also go there. Most probably it was this hill where Jesus had spoken the Sermon on the Mount. As many men, people were hearing him, so the multitudes, I believe many of them followed Jesus. And there were others on the plain who heard of the fame of Jesus. They also gathered around, so that a great multitude encompassed him. To make it more realistic, we may say there were hundreds and even thousands that were milling around Jesus. In this very tight situation, there was a leper, and he was very intent. I'm sure Jesus, the Son of God, can heal me. So he pushes away. You know, when you desire a thing and you have much earnestness about it, you will get to the place. So the leper got to the very presence of Jesus, and he knelt down and worshipped him and pleaded with Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me." That is the way we should approach the Lord, with earnestness, falling on our knees to worship him. And Jesus touched with compassion, healed him and cleansed him right there. But Jesus told the leper, "Don't tell anyone." Not like today, if you can do anything great, you broadcast it. But Jesus is greatness himself. He need not anyone advertise him. Why did he say that? He came not so much to heal, but to preach. He came not so much to heal us of our physical sicknesses, but the more important, to heal our spiritual sicknesses. Nonetheless, whether the leper kept quiet or not, it is not recorded, but his fame immediately spread. So that when he came down to Capernaum, that is a village not very far from the Sermon on the Mount, there was a centurion whose servant was sick. And his faith greatly thrilled Jesus. He said, "You need not come to my house. I'm a centurion and I order my servants around and they do. You just say a word and my servant will be all right." Jesus was pleased and said the word, and the servant of the centurion was healed. And then he came into Peter's house where his wife's mother was lying sick on bed. But at Jesus' touch, she got up immediately. Her fever left her and she served the people. By this time, the fame of Jesus Christ spread like wildfire. That by the evening, there must be a crowd of a few hundred at least. Those who were possessed with devils, all kinds of sicknesses. And Jesus healed them by his word. In this case, there may be so many people that he could not touch everyone. But by his word, at one word, "Be you all healed." And they were all cured. But with this, more and more people are coming. And Jesus said, "We must go to the other side." In other words, "I come, yes, with compassion, I do heal, and heal every one of them this time. But if I keep on doing the work of healing, that is not my main purpose, then souls will not be saved. We must preach rather the gospel." This statement is confirmed by the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, verse 37 and 38, and confirmed by Luke chapter 4, 43. And they said the same thing, because many people came seeking for healing, more and more. Jesus said, "That is not my main purpose. I must go to the next towns to preach that souls may be saved. The spiritual diseases in our soul must be cleansed and cast out that we may be saved, that we may be able to enter into his kingdom." Well, this we found out to be the pattern of work in our mission field, particularly in Cambodia. There the needs are so great, the people are so poor, the people are so sick, being advertised that of all the South Asian countries, Cambodia is the most rife with AIDS. And so we thank God that our church is able to send two medical missions to Cambodia, and in the two missions we had ministered to around 2,500 sick and poor people. And that is about correct. I don't think that it is too necessary to send more medical missions, just as Jesus did not stress on the healing, but rather the healing of the souls, the preaching of the gospel. And thank God, we have already been 3.5 years in Cambodia, and hundreds have been baptized. I myself, when I went there the second time, I baptized 24 wonderful young people by the ministry of Jonathan Lee. They can pray truly better than we, because they are a people in need and they pray very fervently and earnestly. And when I baptize them, I can see from their faces that they are truly born again, that they have the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. So it is that we must relentlessly press on with the ministry of preaching and soul saving. any church work without saving souls, without having those who have heard the good word and then they come and tell the pastor, I want to be baptized. And we pray that there may be many more baptized in this church as newcomers come and they find the way of salvation. The spiritual over the physical. The spiritual over the material. And so it's the same as in the case of feeding the hungry and the poor. Jesus had compassion on the big crowds who came to hear him, and on two occasions he made bread for them, miracle bread, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feeding 5,000, and then feeding 4,000 on another occasion. Now these people, when they received the free bread, they did not recognize the wonderful miracle, but they only remember the good taste they had in the mouth. And so, when Jesus departed in the mountain to pray, they waited until he came down, and immediately they say, good morning, sir. Jesus said, I know why you say good morning, sir, to me. You come not because you remembered the miracle, but you want to have free sandwiches again. And so he said, you see me not because of remembering the miracle, but because of the loaves that you have eaten. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. For him has God the Father sealed. Christ is the appointed Savior, and he has come not just merely to feed you with physical bread. I've done it twice already, and I'll not do it again. The people wanted to make him king, but Jesus refused. Now one of the disciples who wished that Jesus would make miracle bread again, I can tell you from the text that we read, is none other than Judas Iscariot. Because in John chapter 6 verse 70, the account of the feeding of the 5,000, after everything was over, Jesus said to Judas, have I not chosen you 12? But one of you is a devil. Because from that day, Judas Iscariot planned to betray our Lord. Why? Because he was selfish that if Jesus became king, then he would be prime minister. His following Jesus Christ is not to carry the cross, but to wear the crown, which Jesus rejected. And so it's the same pattern that we follow in our work in Cambodia. And I am very thankful to the various fellowships and groups that took an initiative to procure a lot of good things for the very poor of Cambodia. And per container, and we send them 10 containers of food and clothing. Per container had cost us 20 or 30 thousand dollars of good food that we send. And I pray that the Lord may bless all our groups who have done something for the good of the poor people of Cambodia to feed them. But again, that is what we have done, and I believe it's enough to send them more relief goods. Then they only look for the material and not for the spiritual. But thank God, the work of the gospel goes on, and the ministry of the word to save souls brings forth good result. As a result, my dear brother Jonathan Lee is not only building a four-story church. The money has come to him mostly from Korea, and yet there is a lack. But I trust the Lord that He will supply. Not only this four-story church, He has built another two churches, even in a village that opposes the gospel. But now those who are against Christ have been converted and they come in and take part. This again is what we should do. Depart to another place, Jesus said. Go to the next town. Because I'm not come merely to heal the sick and to attend to the physical needs of the people. This is good, but not essential in my ministry. My ministry is to heal the spiritual diseases of the people, to take them out from the sins in which they are immersed. Yes, there are many who are sick. And if you visit our Singapore hospitals, outpatients clinic, you will be amazed of crowds and crowds. Why? This world has been lying under sin. One bite of the apple. No. There was no apple in the case. Many people think that there was an apple. But it is the forbidden fruit. The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that God had prohibited Adam and Eve from eating. The day that you eat thereof, you surely die. But they did. Sin came into the world. By sin, death. And by sin, sicknesses. Even as a Chinese proverb says, birth, old age, sickness, death. That is a lot of sinful mankind. And unless the Lord delivers us from our sin, to deliver us from our sickness, is only very little effect. And so he said, I must go to another place. I've healed too many people here. My ministry is not just to heal the sicknesses, but rather to heal the soul, that they may be saved. Therefore, to have a healing ministry equivalent to the preaching ministry is a wrong emphasis and out of step with the pattern of work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm referring to the charismatics who say that inasmuch as Jesus had healed and the apostles had healed, so we today must recover that gift and do the same. But they are truly out of joint in the interpretation. Whether it be in the Gospels, Jesus commissioned it only to the 12 apostles to heal, to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers. And then we come to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. There again it is said, and to the apostles are given power to do signs and wonders, particularly to heal, but not to the ordinary people. And particularly the healing ministry is exemplified by Peter, the first 12 chapters of Acts, and after that, from 13 down, the ministry of Paul. And God gave them great power over the evil ones. But it's interesting to note that as you come to the end of Acts, the ministry of healing tapers off. But rather, the preaching and the consolidation of the preaching, consolidation of the doctrine is the important point. And so, everywhere today, with all these who pretend to have the power of God, faith healers, and as you remember many years ago, about 48 years ago, when I was a young pastor, and I came to the badminton hall at Guillemard Road, an American charismatic preacher, and they put up a great sign, "Jesus heals, Jesus saves. Jesus heals before Jesus saves." And he preached the gospel for about 10 minutes and immediately brought out his specialty, "Jesus heals." And then great crowds came, not to seek their soul salvation, but just only the temporal relief for their sicknesses. And then he said, "Jesus heals. Who wants to be healed?" Everybody put up a hand. Click. And you see, so many people accepted Christ. It was a very humorous situation because my father also went to the meeting. And he brought his good friend, a Buddhist. And he heard that there was healing. "Oh, I don't mind. If Jesus can heal me, well, perhaps I might believe in him." And then my father asked him, "What sickness do you have? You want to be healed?" Well, he said, "I got only two teeth left. I want the Lord to keep my two teeth. They won't drop out." That is a sort of a healing. Well, so many strange things. I can still remember an elder's wife of the BP church. And there was a healing session at the Anglican church, St. Andrew's Cathedral. And many people were seated. And that preacher was doing the new fad of showing power by just stretching his hand and they all fall down. And they said that was the power of the Holy Spirit. And the elder's wife went there to be healed. And she also fell backwards. And they came home and said, "Well, I rather, when I fell down, I got more painful. And if I don't go, I may be better. Now, having gone there, it's worse." That did not help, to tell the truth. They have completely no power. But it is a self-inducement, self-make-believe, and this mass psychology to play it up. I remember many years ago, a German faith healer, charismatic leader. He had a great ministry in Africa, and every time there were tens of thousands to hear him. When he came to Singapore, also there were tens of thousands. And one of the high leaders of the church of this country played him up and said, "He can make the lame to walk and the blind to see." Such a high claim. Alright, they came. And many went to the healing. But then they have a after campaign, there's a post-mortem report. And one young lady said, "I went there to ask for healing and my left eye was healed. But now I'm going to hospital to have my right eye operated on." Well, I said, "What logic is there? If he could have healed her left eye, he could have healed your right eye even before you ask. That would be the true power of the Lord Jesus Christ." He did not produce any result at all. And I'm very sorry to know that there are greater names in charismatic circles. The biggest name is Benny Hinn. I saw him in the 80s in Australia. And then lately we went to Australia, we saw him again. We went there the year 2000 to Perth. And he wanted to show his power to mesmerize the crowds. He would just make a switch and the people will fall down. And there are those with blankets standing behind to cover them up. But this time there were two tall and strong fellows. And when they did that to them, and you know what he did? He cleverly slunk away and made some of the young ladies, the weaker ones, whether he pushed them down or not, I do not know, a sleight of hand, and then that tried to save his situation. And I tell you, many of the crowds will be taken in and bluffed. But I was examining him. I said, well, he has failed. If he could not get these two big fellows to fall, that shows it's a fake power. And there is no such thing as in the work of the Holy Spirit, you do not raise them up, but you make them fall down. It is not in the Bible. Now they go even further to say, every member of the church can do healing. And you have seen them laying hands on one another. I pray for you, pray for me, putting their hands on each other. And they say, in so doing, they bless one another. Well, not too long ago, we went to the hospital to pray for a dying brother. And we could see that he would not last more than a few days. The elders and the pastors prayed and asked our Lord's mercy to give him the grace to go through the suffering that he may keep on trusting the Lord to the very end. Suddenly three young men appeared. They seemed to be his acquaintances. And when we prayed, the three young men raised up their arms. And we were surprised. Nobody asked them to come in. As if to say, you people don't have the power. We have the power. As it were, to tell us we can raise him from the dead. And we were very taken by surprise. Thy will be done. We knew that our brother was going to depart soon. And we only commended him that he would not be able, that he may be able to go through the sufferings. And the Lord took him, and we gave him the glory. What does the Bible say about getting healed in a church? Turn with me with the gospel, with the epistle of James. In chapter 5, verse 14 down, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, olive oil, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is in the time of James, in those days where there was not much medicine. Indeed, many were suffering. If they had the modern medicine, they would have been healed. But this is a way that they did. And today it is the same thing. If we have the sick, to call the elders to pray is according to the Bible, because it gives glory to God that the elders are seeking God's help for them. But we have more than elders. Today, God has given a gift of medical science, which has so improved. Indeed, we marvel at the way specialists and doctors are able to operate and to bring cure to the patients. Not only that, even Panadol is a gift of God. If you have a headache, well, I'm advertising the medicine now. Take 2 tablets, 4 tablets, and I also do that sometimes when there is something troubling me and the headache will be gone. But with some of the Johnsung, these followers, very, very earnest. And then they develop a doctrine, you must not take any medicine. If you take any medicine, that means you have no faith in God. And they suffered through. We thank God for modern medicine and for even drugs that can quickly remove a headache. But there are those who say, no, I'll wait until Reinhard Bonnke comes and I ask him to touch me to that my headache may disappear. It's going against the will of the Lord. He has provided us good food, good medicine, good vitamins, which we take and naturally it will cure us. Therefore, when we have the sick, what shall we do? We bring them to the doctors. We seek the Lord's blessing. We ask the elders of the church to come and pray for them, the pastor to pray for them, which is correct. But then, as in the case of cancer, if it is discovered early and we report it to the specialist and they operate on us, we are healed. Thank God for that. Now there are cases of cancer. Whether it be early or late, it is fatal to this person. And no matter how much of chemotherapy, no matter how much of other ways of healing, this case seems to be a gone case. Can you then complain to the Lord? It is here that God also reveals His will. Not that everyone who comes before Him will get a healing, like in the case of the first healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. That was a special manifestation of God's mercies. But God has a plan for every life, and it is appointed for us that we will have to go. Then let us submit to His will. I've said 2 or 3 times before, at my age, if cancer should visit me, well, I say, oh, time's up, let's prepare to go. No need to take any chemotherapy and fight for months. I'm very happy. So here is a will of God revealed. And we thank God for a prayer news page every week put up by our brother Charles Seed in the most efficient way, every week up to date. And I believe this is the will of God, that the whole church would pray and those whom God would preserve, they are alive, those whom God would take away, the time is up for them. We should not complain, and we should yield rather to the will of the Lord. In so doing, we show our concern for the welfare of our members. In so doing, we render glory to God. Therefore, do not complain, but submit. God is a sovereign God, and our lives are entire in His hand. When He says, come home, we must gladly accept. Now, the question is this. It is not so much a question if those who are sick now and they are struggling to be healed. The greater question is, do you, with all the health and strength, have also a healthy soul, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you are healed from your soul's diseases. That is the question those of us who are sitting in the pew here must answer. Have I been healed of my soul's diseases? Jesus, the healer of all diseases. Secondarily, on our physical illnesses, but primarily on our soul's sicknesses. Is Jesus the healer of your diseases, both spiritual and physical? Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for this passage of Scripture of our Lord Jesus Christ, showing His mercy on all those who come to Him. O Lord, You are doing the same to us, though it is more clearly revealed that some of us will not be healed, but may we rest in Thy sovereign will. We pray above all that if there is anyone here who has not been healed of his soul's diseases, O Lord, may that person come to the great physician and find saving of soul in time. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.